Good morning. How are you, Raven?
I feel fantastic. Thanks.
It is a good day.
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's good. I'm glad that you're full of hope on a Monday.
No, that's what I'm doing. I'm doing this new thing now where I have to start with a positive mindset.
Okay.
Because that sets the tone for the rest of the day and the week.
All right.
Yeah, because if you go into today being like, ugh.
Well, of course.
Monday. Ugh, I got so much to do today. Then what are you going to do? You're going to be miserable.
I didn't realize you were having a problem with that.
I tend to do that. Mostly because I hate getting up so early, which is ironic because I get up at 3:40 in the morning every weekday.
I mean, that's our life.
Yeah. But if you start the day with a positive note, here we are.
Okay, great. Yeah.
But I will tell you, there's a lot of things that happened this weekend that we did not get credit for. And that's why we need to start the week the way we always do, with this.
Doing the right thing can be really hard.
I'm a good person. Yes, it's true.
That's why it's time for Credit Due.
I'm a good person.
Anna and Raven.
What didn't you get credit for over the weekend? You could always call or text 1-800-330-9999. And Raven, earlier I was just talking about how you need to start on a positive note.
Right.
You have to start your week positive.
Of course.
So I thought today I would give credit to my husband instead of taking credit for something that I did that I didn't get credit for.
Wow, what did your husband do that you didn't get him credit for right at that moment, and so, now you're going to do it?
Yeah, I have had all the Halloween decorations in a giant pile in the garage.
Right.
But I haven't felt like doing anything with them because, remember, what I had done is I went to Goodwill and I bought these old porcelain dolls, which we've had several psychics tell me may or may not be possessed.
That's right, right. So you save?
Well, I was trying to figure out, what am I going to do with them? Because everyone says that I should either burn them or I should throw them away.
Or bury them.
Yeah,
and then bless them. Right,
yeah,
that was another option.
And I was like, I don't feel like doing any of these things.
You just wanted to throw them in a box and be done with it.
Yeah, so I just left them in a giant heap.
What did he do?
He went to Home Depot and bought giant bins. And he packed everything away in the
bins.
And he brought them up into the attic all by himself. And I didn't say a word, mostly because I didn't want him to know that he was possibly bringing possessed dolls into the attic.
Well, I was going to point that out. I mean, on the one hand, it's fantastic that he cleaned them and he put them away and organized all your stuff for next year. On the other hand, now they're in the house, all right? And they live there now.
So I didn't give him credit, mostly because I wasn't sure if I was just going to be, I don't know, welcoming the evil spirits in the house. But let's just give him some credit because he really did go above and beyond.
Good effort, Paul. I hope you don't wake up and see one, though, right above your head.
Yeah, that's what I think.
I got to be honest.
I was lying in my bed yesterday looking up at the ceiling last night, and all I was
thinking is, are they watching you?
Thank you, Paul, for putting everything away. You're the best.
Good job, man. You know what I did this weekend, Anna, is I watched a mediocre romantic comedy. Mm-hmm. Not once, but twice, because my wife fell asleep for the last 15 minutes and had to see the big reveal. Holiday, people. You could skip it. You could watch it. Either way, it's new on Netflix. We're running out of options, and that's what I did. I thought that was a pretty good effort.
And your wife didn't even say thank you for watching it twice?
Totally mediocre film. Not one bit of thanks.
Oh, let's give you some credit.
Thank you. Please. The first time she fell asleep, I thought I was just, you know, making it through the movie at the end to be polite.
Right.
I wasn't even saying all the typical cynical things that I typically say when there's a terrible movie on. Mm-hmm. And it turns out she was asleep.
Whole time was asleep.
I couldn't even believe it.
No clue that you had watched the whole thing and then had to relive it again. She didn't even say thank you.
I mean, it wasn't even one of those ones that gave you the big stand up and cheer feeling. It wasn't good enough.
What didn't you get credit for over the weekend? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven.
Doing the right thing can be really hard.
Yes, it's true. I'm a good person, better than you.
That's why it's time for Credit Due.
I'm a good person.
Anna and Raven.
What didn't you get credit for over the weekend? You can always call or text 1-800-330-9999. We'll give you the credit you deserve. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
I ran out and moved my car before the mailman got to my neighbor's house because my car was blocking their mailbox and no one thanked me.
Wait a minute. That car, your car, was blocking their mailbox, but you left your house, got in it, and you moved it so they could easily deliver the mail?
I mean, technically, I think her car was illegally parked, but that is nice of you to get out there before it comes because they could be waiting on a check.
Let's give you some credit.
Thank you.
That postal worker would have had to have gotten out.
They're not required to do that. I got news for you, Anna Zapp. They're not required to do that.
So what are they going to do? Just throw it over the car?
No, they could have ignored you and just came back the next day. Legally, that's what, I mean, that's in their rules. They could have done that.
Wow.
Nobody's ever actually waiting on a check, but there's nothing worse than thinking you might be getting a check and then looking outside and seeing somebody is parked in front of your mailbox. That was nice of her.
Yeah. Hi, it's Ian on Raven. What didn't you get credit for this weekend?
So this weekend, I take my kids for a hike. The whole reason is so that my wife can go to the, you know, get her nails done, not worry about anything. When I tell her that she should thank me, she just yells at me instead and tells me that that is my job as a dad.
Right. So now all your activities have to be at least a hike or better as a dad moving ahead.
She's not wrong, but I'll give you some credit anyway.
Take it when you can get it.
But I see your true colors shining through.
He stepped up and he was an actual dad to his own children.
It's nice to get a mani-pedi and not have to worry about what's going on out there in the world. That's true, but again, I'm not sure whether or not you get an award for that, because I mean, it was super nice out, and they are your children, so
right.
You
yeah
know.
Yeah, they're your kids. Hi, it's Ian on Raven. What didn't you get credit for this weekend?
I didn't watch any football all weekend long. I did everything that my wife wanted to do this weekend, and I didn't even get rewarded.
A single snap. Didn't see anything. Not even the red zone recap. That's terrible.
We'll give you some credit right now. You know who didn't get that luxury yesterday?
Who's that?
My husband, Paul. Where I said, no, we have to take the girls to the park. It's too nice. You don't need to watch football. And then we got in the car, and I heard him out of the corner of his mouth say, Siri, who won the Giants game? And I felt so bad for him. If you didn't get credit for something, we always want to give you the credit you deserve. You could always call or text 1-800-330-9999. Coming up in 10 minutes, we lost one of our nation's treasures over the weekend, and he was the epitome of the word fighter. It's with Ann on Raven. So sad. Jeopardy host Alex Trebek, he lost his battle of pancreatic cancer yesterday. It's Ann on Raven. He was 80 years old, and he has been hosting Jeopardy since 1984. He filmed his last episode, which is going to air on Christmas Day, last week. Like, up until the end, he was filming episodes of Jeopardy, and he wasn't sure going to back down.
You know, I wonder if we'll ever have television hosts that people connect with again, like they did the game show hosts of the last generations, right? I mean, because you think of Bob Barker, right? You think of Pat Sajak. You think of Alex Trebek. And every one of those people is a household name. When I asked you who hosts, a modern show, for the most part, you can't really recall. Drew Carey, you remember, because Price is Right has been there forever. But for the most part, people don't remember.
It's the last of the breed. I feel like they try
Steve Harvey.
Yeah, but not even. It's like they bring these people in temporarily. Like, when's the last time there's somebody that's been on a show for 37 years?
I mean, it's
37 years.
I can't think of it. For the most part, if you see somebody that's doing it, you're always calling for them to go. But Alex Trebek was always the perfect answer for the Jeopardy host.
And he was always true to his brand. He was himself through and through. And you could always, like, trust him. And there was something likable about him all the time.
Listen, at 80, still doing it right up until this year, one of the things I loved the most about Alex Trebek was when he would start rapping.
Oh, Raven and I would giggle. Every time there would be a rap that came out, we would play it here in the studio behind the scenes, and we would just laugh because it was so great.
Let's start off with some of its favorites, then.
I made the change from a common thief to up close and personal with Robin Leach.
Nice. Biggie.
He may have done it better than Biggie. I'm just saying.
Well, all right, don't ever.
Maybe.
Don't ever. Yeah, how about this one right here?
Never let me slip, because if I slip, then I'm slipping.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course, Alex. Don't let him slip. G-Thing from Dr. Dre.
Gosh, I love this. Whatever there was these topics that came up and somebody chose them, I'm like, here we go.
You settle in and figure that this is going to be your round, right? How about this one?
You go ooh and ah when I jump in my car. People treat me like this Hall of Fame L.A. Lakers center.
Oh, that's a double one. What center is he talking about, Anna Zapp?
I don't know.
Ooh and ah while I jump in my car. It's going to rhyme with that.
I don't know.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Come on, man. That's Public Enemy. Time Bomb.
That was probably like the $1,000 question. It was a daily double.
Yeah, that's
a
deep
one. I was never going to get
that one. It is a deep dive. It's true.
Raindrops, drop tops, bankrolls on me, keep me company. We did the most. Pull up in ghosts. Dabbing on them like the usual. I'm young and rich. Plus, I'm bougie.
Which one? Who was that?
That's Migos.
I would never get that
Bad and bougie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you you know, like, the capital of every Qatar and, like, nations that you forgot existed, but you also know that that's Migos?
You're just hanging out. That's a cool coffee party, man. I mean, it's, your guests are, like, Mos Def and Elvis Costello. You're having a good time.
One more.
Another one. Wraith talk. Here we go, talking that safe talk. My swag different. My bag different. My wife Beyonce. I brag different. Special cloth talk. Major key.
Oh,
I got
Alex.
The keys, Khaled and Jay-Z and Future. Pretty great.
That is great. Well, rest in peace, Alex. We're going to miss you a whole lot.
We'll be thinking of you, man. The game won't be the same without you.
Yeah. Coming up next, if you would spend $125,000 to tour this disaster, that's all I need to know about you. And also, if you have a $125,000 I could borrow so I could tour this disaster, that would be awesome. 10 minutes with Anna and Raven.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 That's all I need to know about you. It's Anna and Raven. You could always call or text 1-800-330-9999 and just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Raven, if you would pay $125,000 to tour the Titanic shipwreck, that's all I need to know about you.
People love it down there, though, man. And there's a curiosity of something so large, just this massive story that we've had, you know, going on in our lives. Imagine being down there. Gazing in the windows. And
looking for bodies?
No, the bodies are gone, man. They're long gone.
How do we know that for sure?
Because they've been down there forever at this point.
We all agree that most likely the Titanic shipwreck is the most haunted place in the universe, right?
I mean,
in my mind, you go down there,
yeah,
and they're all in a ballroom eating and dancing, but it's all ghosts.
Yeah, we saw the movie,
but it's the ghost version of that.
I mean, I think that when you go down there as a person, you're going to feel the reverence of the area, and you're going to feel the spirit of it. Yeah, there'll be a very eerie feeling. I mean, knowing that so many people perished there, yeah, it'd be terrible.
That's a new thing right now. I should probably mention that you can sign up to tour the Titanic shipwreck on a mini submarine.
Yeah,
but it costs $125,000 per person.
If you had it, no cost to you right now, would you do it?
Yes. Which is so sad.
You didn't even hesitate.
I mean, come on.
You're ripping it and you didn't even hesitate for a second.
I would go to the Titanic shipwreck in a submarine before I would go to the moon or Mars. Because I just would be fascinated by it.
I mean, it's just as dangerous, to tell you the truth.
You think so?
Yes, it's 100% just as dangerous.
No, I think that you're better off in a submarine than you are in a spacecraft on Mars.
I mean, if something goes wrong, you ain't making it. But it's the same.
There's no way that Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet are on Mars right now, though. There's a chance that they might be down at the Titanic doing a special appearance.
seriously doubt it. But
okay.
All right.
Yep. That's all I need to know about you.
If you're confused as to what it is that you're going to call the second gentleman now that that's a new thing and a new position, that's all I need to know about you. I just picture when I hear second gentleman, him in a smoking jacket and valeting cars at the White House. I don't know what to make.
I heard one news network call him second dude, and I was like, what?
Second dude.
Second dude.
Right.
I go, out of all the options, that seems like the least one you should be using as an example.
You know, I know, like, you know, obviously the first ladies, they've had incredible platforms over the years. It's you know, part of the job, really. But does the second gentleman do that? Does he have a platform? Or does he immediately quit his job and just, you know, watch Red Zone all the time to sporting events and that type of stuff?
If I understand correctly, he was an entertainment lawyer and he was giving up his practice so that he could go with her.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So what does he do now? Now he just hangs around the White House in his sweatpants. I'd love it. So,
well, then I guess second dude would be all right if that's the option.
That's true, right?
Coming up, what's the worst thing as a kid to get in your Christmas stocking? Because my least favorite thing just got inducted into the Toy Hall of Fame. You can call or text in early now at 1-800-330-9999. 10 minutes with Ann on Raven. Think back to when you were a kid. You would wake up on Christmas morning. You would run downstairs and Santa came!
Yes! Oh, Santa!
And then you ran over to your stocking and you looked in your stocking and you went, aww. What's the worst thing as a kid to get in your Christmas stocking? 1-800-330-9999. Sienna and Raven. The National Toy Hall of Fame announced this year's inductees. It includes the doll Baby Nancy. And then this, which is the best thing ever.
Jenga, Jenga,
J-J-J-Jenga. You take a block from the bottom and you put it on top. You take a block from the middle and you put it on top.
Did you really find
a tower? You just don't stop.
Yep.
You gotta build that tower, putting blocks
1983
on.
1983 Jenga rap.
Great game with a strange.
Don't you think that Jenga should have more raps? Like, that is legit.
Right, I mean, like, if that was how they came out with it.
It's
like,
strong.
If that's how Jenga was coming out early on, right, they should have continued on with the rap thought process.
Right, so Baby Nancy's in, Jenga's in, which is clearly, like,
yeah,
legit.
That makes sense. I mean, that's from kid to adulthood. You just put drinks on the bars now.
Right, and then my least favorite stocking stuffer also inducted.
Uh-huh, what was that?
Sidewalk chalk. Who wants sidewalk chalk in their stocking?
I mean, some people do.
Come on. That is a filler if I ever heard of a filler.
A filler.
It's a filler.
All killer, no filler. That's what you want for your stocking. Everything's going to be awesome that comes out of there.
National Toy Hall of Fame. You mean to tell me that you think sidewalk chalk is superior to My Little Pony and Bingo, which it beat this year?
Listen, we have to look back at precedent, too, all right? The Hall of Fame for toys, as we've covered, year to year. Sometimes there are some questionable inductees, but they go in there like Stick is in the Hall of Fame.
Also dumb.
Stick is in the Hall of Fame.
Come on.
It is in there.
I get it. I understand that it is in there.
Yeah.
But you mean to tell me Cabbage Patch Kids, which are my favorite toy of my lifetime.
Their day is coming.
They got
to wait, like Terrell Owens. They got to say the right things. They got to have right people lobbying for them, all that stuff. Like, that's what they
got to
do.
You've got the Cabbage Patch Kids sitting there, and you have to say to that little beautiful dolly, I'm sorry, sidewalk chalk is going to make it in before you're going to make it in.
Well, without sidewalk chalk, they say no Cabbage Patch Kids. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, sidewalk chalk
is one
of the beginning.
Who says that, Raven?
But I'm just trying to say is that they're putting down the foundation for the Hall of Fame here, right? The foundation is important of this.
Well, I think that it's the sadness of it is that when you go in your stocking and you see that sidewalk chalk, you're always like, ugh, when you were a kid.
Well, what was the worst for you?
Sidewalk chalk.
Yeah, that would be up there.
Yeah.
Okay.
That and the Mutans. My mom would always put the underwear.
Well, underwear, of
underwear
course.
Underwear always was going there.
That's the thing is when you got to the time, you know, I can recall a very sad, sinking feeling in my soul when you would get to the time where you realize, oh, now they're not treating me like a kid anymore, right? Yeah. So instead of, you know, things like candy and, you know, matchbox cars or a video game or whatever, at that point it turned out to be like, you know, deodorant, right?
Yeah.
Like maybe a pack of gum, you know, socks, that kind of thing. And you'd be like, oh, now I'm the sad practical guy. You'd be like, I'm 11. I don't even have a mustache yet. What's going on here, Mom?
1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the worst thing to get in your Christmas stocking?
Popcorn ball.
Popcorn bowl is bad. Yeah.
Nobody wants that. No one wants it in their trick-or-treat bag. Nobody wants it in their stocking stuffer.
Like, I mean, the only time you want a popcorn ball is if you see somebody make it in front of you. Then it's fresh. Then it's delicious. Other than that, like, that thing is like a baseball.
Raven, when's the last time you saw somebody make a popcorn ball?
Well, I mean, you can't go anywhere this year, so that doesn't count. But, I mean, if you went to, like, a carnival or a fair or something, somebody could be making them.
No. Really?
Listen, yes.
You just want to throw it at somebody.
1-800-330-9999. $99.99. What was the worst thing to find in your stocking when you were a kid? It's Anna and Raven. It's the worst thing to get as a kid in your Christmas stocking. 1-800-330-9999. National Toy Hall of Fame announced this year's inductees. It includes the doll Baby Nancy. It includes Jenga, which no one's going to disagree with. Jenga is iconic.
Still awesome.
Yep. And then my least favorite stocking stuffer. When I read this, I was like this. Ugh. Sidewalk chalk.
I don't know why you're such a sidewalk chalk hater. What would happen in the summertime when you were looking for your sidewalk chalk? I bet your mom would scream, where is it? I gave it to you in your stocking.
Ugh, it's just one of those things that, like, you should always have it on hand as a parent.
Right.
Trust me. I do. I have endless amounts of sidewalk chalk. But it's not a gift.
But you feel like it's not a gift.
It's not a gift.
It's not a sexy enough gift for you. Right.
It doesn't belong.
It's a staple. It should be. Parents are required to have it, so therefore you can't wrap it for children.
Absolutely. It doesn't belong in your stocking.
You're terrible.
It's true. We asked on our Facebook page and on text, what is the worst thing to get in your Christmas stocking when you were a kid? We had one text that said, one year, I remember getting a new toothbrush and toothpaste in my stocking.
I was going to say, have you ever gotten the toothbrush in the stocking?
No.
You're like, what? What is this?
Yeah.
Are we dentists now?
Another text says, gum. I still put gum in the stocking.
I get gum. A pack or two of gum is good, but then sometimes, like, you'll get, like, the big pack. Like, somebody went to BJ's or Costco or something. Now you got 30 packs of gum. Now you got to eat all that gum before it goes stale, because there's nothing worse than the last, like, four packs of that gum where it's just stiff.
Yeah.
It's stiff.
1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. What's the worst thing to get in your Christmas stocking when you were a kid?
Aside from coal, I would say socks. Because essentially, you're getting a sock full of socks.
That's true. Now, were you ever actually given coal?
I was not given coal, but I think I'd rather get the coal than the socks.
Just to feel like you got something.
At least it feels like you've accomplished something, that you were so bad that you got coal this year.
Right. Somebody thought enough of you to get you something. It was terrible, but they got it for you.
Yeah, I might as well have been bad and got coal because I got a sock full of socks.
Right. Yeah, you're right. A sock full of socks is definitely a sadness. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the saddest thing to find in your stocking?
I always hated, when I was younger, getting those the little reindeer Santa where you put the chocolate-covered raisins in them and it looks like they poop them out. Because those chocolate-covered raisins were never good. They were always gross.
I mean, I've never seen one of those before in my life, but I am Googling that now.
I mean, I kind of want one of those in my stocking, right? If that's available, I'll take it.
Right. I mean, do you have any still laying around?
Yeah. It's Anna and Raven. Worst stocking stuffer when you were a kid.
So, I don't know if it was the worst thing, but my parents used to, like, raid the cabinet of toothpaste and razors and chapstick. And they would individually wrap every single thing because they wanted us to have as much stuff to open as possible. So, like, the little tiny chapsticks, my dad would wrap them very meticulously. And we would have to unwrap all of these things that we had seen in the cabinet, like, a few days before Christmas.
So, wait a minute. These were already your opened items, because I actually wrap all the small stuff that I give my wife. It doesn't even matter if it's a stick of deodorant. I wrap all that stuff just to be a pain in the butt. But that's just me.
They weren't already open, but they already were in our house. Like we could have went into the cabinet and gotten a new scoop of chapstick.
That's like, it's getting like the leftover pasta from dinner last night and wrapping a meatball, putting it right in there.
It does feel wrong. Yeah. It does.
See, in my house, everything that gets wrapped always goes under a tree, but you don't wrap anything that goes in the stocking. That's a different thing.
Oh, no. We wrap the stocking stuff, too, at my house.
Why?
I don't know, because I like it.
Coming up in 10 minutes, if you're doing this to relax, all you may be doing is introducing germs into your body. It's coming up with Anna and Raven. Are you a pro bather or an anti bather? And I'm not talking about like actually cleaning your body. I'm talking about getting in a bathtub. Ugh.
Blech.
I know. If you're over the age of 4 years old, I don't think you should take a bath. Am I the only one that thinks this?
Yeah, I was thinking about it when you brought this up, is that when was the age where I switched over to shower? Because I remember it kind of being a big deal when you went to shower from the bath, right?
Right.
You were in charge of making sure, number one, that you didn't drown in the shower.
Yep.
And number two, that you still got yourself clean. And I can remember that being a thing.
Yeah, it's Anna and Raven. These bath bombs have become a big thing. So
yeah,
my daughter takes like the baths with the bath bombs, and I'm so grossed out by all of it. It dyes the bathtub different colors. To me, I look at her and I tell her, I make her take a shower
after taking a bath
because I think it's nasty.
Yeah.
So on Friday night, I was texting one of my girlfriends, Olivia. She lives in San Francisco now. And I asked her, I'm like, what are you up to? And she says, oh, I need to just relax. It's been such a stressful week. I'm drawing a bath.
What are you, my grandmother?
I mean, what do you mean you're drawing
a bath?
Who says that?
I mean, come on. The butler says that. I mean, that's it. That's the only person that says that.
So I said, that really makes you calm? And she's like, yeah. I go, so you're just going to lay in your filth? And in my head, I imagine her, because I've never been to her new apartment.
Sure.
She just looks out the window at like
you imagine the cityscape.
Yeah.
Right.
Like
the beautiful
the full
area.
House building in San Francisco. Right. She's the only thing I think is in San Francisco, that and the Golden Gate Bridge, right?
But in reality, it's probably like a 12 square foot bathroom and she's staring at tile wall.
Is it really that good? I did some research because I'm like, there's got to be some stats about why baths are gross.
Yeah.
And there's a big like debate that goes on between people that are bathers and anti-bathers. So the people that say that baths are gross, they point out that there's over 100,000 bacteria per square inch in bath water.
Okay. Right. But it's all coming off of your body. So, I mean, consider that. It's all coming off of your body.
And what about the environment?
Yeah.
A full bathtub takes about 70 gallons of water, while a shower uses only 10 to 25. That's a big difference.
That seems fake, though. 10 to 25? I go through 10 gallons of shower water in about 10 seconds, I'm guessing.
No,
I like to get in there. And
you take too long.
Yeah, so what? I mean, if that's the shower that I normally take, you can't hide behind the, you know, I'm saving the planet on that one. That's all I'm saying.
I just think it's so gross to think about the bacteria. I feel like it's all your dirtiness is now kind of pooled, literally, in this bath that you drawed.
Yeah, the best bath to take, I guess, would be under a waterfall. That's what I'm thinking because, you know, you wanted to keep moving, which is, again, a shower is what I'm guessing there. So I guess, you know, bath more supposed to like be like moisturizing, that type of stuff. Like I've got some skin stuff. So my wife is always like, you should take a bath.
That's not true.
And then I'm like, I don't want to take a bath because, you know, temperature wise, it's just no fun after like 30 seconds.
Every dermatologist I have ever had, including my girl's dermatologist, they have terrible skin, have said that baths are terrible for your skin.
Really?
Yeah, because it dries you out more than ever.
Well, they have the Epsom salt bath and that type of stuff.
So I did some research to find out why people think baths are good. And the only thing that keeps coming up, it says it can be relaxing and luxurious. So tonight, Raven, we're going to force ourselves into our own waste and we're going to take baths.
Why don't I just jump in a septic pool?
Yep. And we're going to record ourselves to see, do we feel clean?
Yes.
And are we relaxed? And is it worth it that we took this bath in our own filth?
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah. You're tomorrow thankful. Morning. When did someone cross the line and say something completely inappropriate to you? 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. It's Anna and Raven. A little background on this is that my daughter, Hayden, is 11 years old, and for many years, she has been on the air with me. She did a segment for a while, which we stopped doing about a couple months ago, where she would give advice to listeners. You could get emails. We used to get like 33 emails a week.
One of many segments that Hayden has done here on the program. She's always been a part of the program since you and I got together.
I mean, since she was three, she's been on the air with me. And she's, you know, she's my baby. Like, this is part of her being part of mommy's work and what mommy does for a living.
Well, many people know her, and she's grown with the show.
Yeah. Now, that being said, our boss sent us this voicemail that he received the other day.
Right.
I want to know why you have that 11-year-old giving advice on the air. What a crock. I'm not looking for kiddie time on radio.
Okay.
Okay. That's one part.
Yeah.
All right.
And then
everybody is entitled to an opinion,
absolutely.
I suppose.
Absolutely. And the truth of the matter is we have thick skin. Like we get it. Like people have opinions.
You're not going to do everything that everybody loves all the time.
Right. We do the best we can. We're human. But then she goes on and she says this.
I don't want to hear kiddie talk on the radio. It just turns my stomach. And you're sending her a wrong message like she's such a smart little whatever that she can give adult advice. So,
can I go? Can I go now?
Raven, I think, was more upset than I was.
Well, it we have roles that we play here in the studio and with the show. And ever since that you and I started working together, there's a part of me that feels a bit of a protector. Your husband is not here. I am here. Your child is part of the show. And just who talks that way about an 11-year-old, a 12-year-old? Like, Hayden is one of the sweetest kids I've ever met in my life. And not for nothing. She's also very good at the jobs that we have given her. So to take the time out of your day to make a phone call like that, and then to be so angry with somebody that is a child when you are clearly a grown person, it's unsettling. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And you speak as if you know that child personally, and you do not. And you are making assumptions that are dangerous.
Like,
and
I
I'm just saying, it makes me mad. It makes me mad.
I think that there's a lot of circumstances like this where people in this day and age don't know when they cross the line.
Right. Like, or they just feel they could say whatever they want
whatever
to.
They've
gotten away with it.
Yeah.
So they feel like they can. Sometimes those people need to get taught a lesson. You know that I love teaching people lessons.
But I think there's a lot of situations where people cross the line. So we asked on our Facebook page, when did someone cross the line and say something totally inappropriate to you? And Amanda wrote, I was working as a cashier at a department store, and a customer, seeing that I was pregnant, asked if I was married. When I, confused by the oddity of the question, answered no, they said, I will pray for you. And then left.
Wow.
Remember when
That's pretty brutal.
So a couple years ago when I was pregnant, my girls are 10 years apart. And everyone would ask me, is it the same dad? And I used to be like, that's a weird question.
That is an unbelievably terrible question to ask.
When did somebody cross the line and say something totally inappropriate to you? 1-800-330-9999. You could call or text. It's Anna and Raven. This was a message that was left on my boss's voicemail regarding my 11-year-old daughter who comes on the show with me.
Talk on the radio. It just turns my stomach. And you're sending her a wrong message like she's such a smart little whatever is full.
Tannon Raven.
Yeah, this just makes me infuriate. It just infuriates me. It really does.
People cross the line. They say things like, you know, you're talking about a child. Right. You're talking about my child.
Listen, you can talk about us. That's easy.
All you want.
Right. Yeah. We're in this business. We're no fools to that. I mean, we know how that game works.
Yeah.
But you start talking about somebody's family, you really got a problem.
But I think it happens all the time. People cross the line. They say things they should never say. We'll cross the line with you. 1-800-330-9999. Tannon Raven.
Not too recently, actually, at work, I was covering the cashier's office, and I was ringing out a gentleman, and he was trying to hand me his debit card, and I pointed to the credit card machine. I said, oh, no, you could put it in right there. He laughed and looked me dead in my eyes and said, you don't have to tell me that twice.
Yeah, that's definitely crossing the line. Some people are just inappropriate and dirty no matter where they go, right? And, you know, the other thing is too, with customer service,
you got to kind of smile and push through it and be like, you know?
Yeah, you don't, but we do anyways. Right, no, you're right.
You're right, because you don't want a confrontation. Right.
Yeah,
thank
we're made to feel like we have to take care of clients.
And on Raven, when does somebody cross the line?
They cross the line when they used to ask me if my brother and I were from the same mother and father, because I'm of mixed race, and so they just felt it was their right to ask that question.
So dumb.
Right.
Like, you
right.
wonder what is going through these people's head when they have the gall to say things
terrible
like that.
Terrible things. Yeah. Terrible thing. I mean, obviously, they're despicable people. When we get questions like that, like, what possible difference does it make? And right, I don't even know you.
And on Raven, when did somebody cross the line?
So it's actually regarding my daughter, who was 8 years old, now 9, was at a Girl Scout event. And she's a little overweight. And she says to one of the people in charge, is it snack time yet? And she says to her, oh, honey, you don't need a snack. In fact, you could go run a lap or two and you still wouldn't need a snack.
Oh, my gosh. Point out that instructor.
Right.
I'm your guy. Point out that instructor and get me a home address. Yeah. I'm your guy.
Yeah. As a mom, hearing that, I can only imagine the rage that you had.
Yeah. I will eat their face.
Yeah.
I mean that in all seriousness. I will. I'll totally eat their face.
It's weird.
Thank you for the call.
Are you hungry? Hi, it's Hannah Raven. When did somebody cross the line?
Oh, I was 16 and I was babysitting. And the doorbell rang. I went to the door holding the baby. And this woman and her son were at the door. And she started handing me all these pamphlets on teenage pregnancy and teenage motherhood.
Mm.
And it was a Jehovah's Witness. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm the babysitter.
Right. Right. Get out of here before I call the police or sick the dogs on you.
Right. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. When did somebody cross the line?
Hi, when I was pregnant with my son and I had him through in vitro on my own, somebody walked up to me that had worked at the office I worked at and said, I didn't even realize you were in a relationship. So I answered, I'm not. And they said, oh, does the dad know? And I had him through a donor and I said, nope. And I walked away because I was just appalled that somebody would ask those questions or just comment that way.
A coworker nuts. On top of it? Just point me to their car. I'm going to key it today. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that today. Which is so out of character for me, but I'm going to steal myself and I'm going to do it for you.
Yeah. Coming up next, couples court. If your mom did this around your children, would you allow her to continue babysitting them? You get the whole story and be the judge next with Anna and Raven.
Couples court on the Anna and Raven show.
Every weekday morning, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. George and Christina. Christina, what's going on?
My mom is a smoker, and I've asked her so many times to not smoke around the kids. They're 8 and 2, and I just don't want her smoking around them. And she watches them during the day, some car pickup from school and remote learning days, and she babysits her toddler. Mm-hmm. And I'm just noticing that the kids are always smelling like smoke. I decided, I was like, well, I'll just ask my 8-year-old, you know, if he's ever seen her smoke around or in the house. And he does say that she goes outside when she smokes. But I feel like I just need to tell my mom, like, this is it. Like, if she can't stop smoking, we'll just hire someone.
That's It's a big investment and a life choice to put on somebody else, I guess. But, I mean, obviously the kid's health is number one. George, what's your side of this?
I don't think it's really a big deal. I mean, like most people. I mean, I grew up around people smoking. It's just, and the upside is we don't have the money that doesn't come out of our pockets. We have to pay somebody to, you know, come to the house. She says she's going outside. The kids, I mean, they're fine. And it's not, you know, it's not like she's just like sitting there puffing away and light blowing smoke in the face. Versus she's, I think she's overreacting. I think we really need to just pump the brakes on this one.
It's a tough call. I've never been in this position, so I don't know how I would feel. I know that I would definitely not anyone, obviously anyone smoking around my child.
Right.
And the fact that she is going outside is good. But then if your kid is always smelling like smoke and you go to pick up your two-year-old, I would certainly have a problem with that, too, to be honest.
Yeah, you trust your kid to tell you the truth, obviously, about where, you know, her mother is smoking, her grandmother is smoking around them or doing it outside. So that's all well and good. Health above all else is what I'm thinking, too. As a smoker, there's ways to cover up your smoke. And how often she's smoking is a concern as well. I mean, how well can she be watching them if she's always outside smoking if it's enough for the kids to stink? On the other hand, wow, childcare costs. Nobody can forget that. That's just not something you can just brush away.
I want my kids to come home from grandma smelling like cookies and love.
I love them to smell like Paul Malls, non-filter.
Whose side are you on this morning? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court with Anna and Raven. Christina and George have two younger children, and Christina's mom watches them while they go to work. The problem is that the kids always smell like smoke because Christina's mom is a smoker. Christina says she's had enough. She either has to quit or they're going to find somebody else to watch the kids.
They've asked their 8-year-old, and dad says, listen, we got to consider childcare costs here right now. She tells us she goes outside. Their 8-year-old has supposedly confirmed it, that grandma always goes outside when she's having a cigarette. But still, at the same time, there is a concern when the kids come back smelling like cigarettes. He says, you can't tell another adult what to do.
Yeah. Do you think she's overreacting? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on this morning?
I am on the wife's side. When my son told me I was going to be a grandmother, I stopped smoking. And when he would bring the baby over to my house, I can smell smoke from the home that he left, which was his in-laws.
Yeah, listen, when you don't smoke, you are hyper-vigilant about the smell of smoke. You can certainly smell it, no question about it. And if you smelled it on a baby, that would be recognizable.
Yeah, well, my kids come home from my mom's house. I mean, it's a smell of, like, bleach, but it's, like, her smell.
Right.
I can't imagine. You know, I love that smell. It reminds me of my mom. But
sure.
I can't imagine it being a smoke smell.
Even if she's going outside when she's watching the kids, I mean, her home, if she typically did smoke inside or whatever,
yeah,
it's going to have some of that smell. So I'm not sure that if she quits, it entirely eliminates it.
And on Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on his side. Because not only is it a money issue, talk about, you don't know who else you're going to get. What is that other person going to do to your child?
Well, that's true.
The trust level that you have to do.
You got to screen them. You got to make
that's
sure you
true,
find somebody
right.
that's going to love
call.
Your child.
Yeah, sometimes you don't know what you got until it's gone.
And on Raven, whose side are you on?
Yes, good morning. I'm on the wife's side. Actually, I think this is an easy question. If the mother is smoking to the extent where the children smell like smoke, they're inhaling the smoke. It's on their clothes. It's in their hair. It may be that she's smoking right outside the front door and they're walking out into it. This is very easy because I went through it. Mom either has to stop smoking when she's there or, yes, they have to bite the bullet and get somebody else to take care of the children.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Christina, our audience agreed with you. You need to have a conversation with your mom and say, listen, you need to cut back on the smoking when the kids are in your care. And if she doesn't, then you have every right to find a different person or a situation to put them in so that you feel more comfortable with their health.
Well, I'm grateful for that. It's so uncomfortable, but I'm grateful that people agree with me. That's exactly how I feel. I just want them to be as healthy as possible, and they're in her care. She should be watching them, not outside smoking.
But you really need to express that to your mother. I mean, I would think that she would be able to cut back or at least deodorize the area in some way so it wouldn't be a concern. Starts with a conversation, I'm guessing.
Yeah, exactly. Not a conversation I want to have, but
And George, you okay with this?
I guess, yeah. I gotta be.
Well, let's just hope it goes well, right? Because, I mean, child care costs are no joke. I'm sure that would obviously make a difference in your budgeting.
But also, peace of mind is very important to us, as a parent. If you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Yana on Raven. Who's this?
Hi, this is David.
David, how well do you know your pop culture trivia?
Not as well as I'd hope.
Oh, gosh, guess, David, that's not the answer I was looking for.
I'm afraid I'm going to disappoint you, Anna.
All right, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please give me the answers? Can you please leave the room?
Sure, good luck, David.
All right, David. Come on, we got $3,300 on the line. I'm trusting you to do this. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You answer them as quickly as you can. I give you 3 seconds. I bring Raven back in, and I ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. You ready to play?
I'll try my best.
All right, number 1. Former season 23 Bachelor contestant Tayshia Adams is the new Bachelorette replacing Claire Crawley. Who was the Bachelor of the season Tayshia came in 3rd?
Colton Underwood.
Number 2, a Kentucky town elected a 6-month-old French bulldog named Wilbur as their town's mayor. What author wrote Charlotte's Web?
E.B. White.
Number 3, Lashana Lynch will portray James Bond and become the first woman to do so in the next film. Who was the last James Bond actor that held the role since 2006?
Daniel Craig, I think.
Number 4, according to a new survey of Americans between 11 and 24 years old, 54% say that they've never seen a cow in real life. Elsie the cow is the mascot for what dairy brand?
Oh, dairy brand.
Time's up. Number 5, after losing his case against a British tabloid that called him a wife beater, Johnny Depp was let go from the Fantastic Beasts franchise. His part will be recast. Fantastic Beasts is a spinoff and prequel to what film series?
Is it the Fantastic Beasts?
Oh man. Let me bring Raven back in.
It took forever. Sounds like a lot of stalling.
David got 3 out of 5.
Well, I hope you didn't cheat on those 3, Dave. Let's see how it goes.
Number 1, former season 23 Bachelor contestant Tayshia Adams is the new Bachelorette replacing Claire Crawley. Who was the Bachelor the season Tayshia came in 3rd?
Well, I've been hearing Colton Underwood's name a lot, so I'm going to go with him.
What is it?
Colton Underwood.
Yes. Number 2, a Kentucky town elected a 6-month-old French bulldog named Wilbur as their town's mayor.
Good.
What author wrote Charlotte's Web?
I have no idea. Come on.
E.B. White.
Okay.
Number 3.
I knew more about the dog.
Number 3, Lashana Lynch will portray James Bond and becomes the first woman to do so in the next film. Who was the last James Bond actor that held the role since 2006?
Since 2006, it's been Daniel Craig.
Number 4, according to a new survey of Americans between 11 and 24 years old, 54% say they've never seen a cow in real life. Elsie the cow is the mascot for what dairy brand?
I'm going to guess Gaida.
No.
It's going to be Hood.
Borden.
Oh, well, I would never have guessed that.
You need this last one to tie.
Okay.
All right. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
After losing his case against a British tabloid that called him a wife beater, Johnny Depp was let go from the Fantastic Beasts franchise.
Heard.
His part will be recast. Fantastic Beasts is a spinoff and prequel to what film series?
It's got to be the Harry Potter series.
Yes. Oh, I didn't think you'd know that one.
Of course I know that. You want to know who wrote it?
Who?
J.K. Rowling.
That's the only author you know.
Stephen King. That's it.
David, you guys tied at 3 today. That was close.
Yes, I can't be Raven.
It's so crazy. $3,400. That is a jackpot for tomorrow morning. Make sure you're listening at noon and 5:30 today for the cheat sheet. I'll give you the first 2 answers to tomorrow's 5 pop culture questions.
Better luck next time.